This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Tēnā whakoutou, everyone. Happy Tuvalu Language Week. My name is Amy Tower and I am sharing the air with my co-host and good friend Sean Norling. We're from Aratoi Creative Partnerships and this is Aratoi On Air. Kia ora, Sean. How are you going?
Oh, yeah, malosi whakawhetai. Yeah, I'm feeling great. Really looking forward to these two chats that you had this week, Amy, with two really wonderful people in our community. Give us a little bit of a sneak preview on who you talked to and what you talked about.
I had a lovely conversation with Pew Pew. We discussed how Pew Pew moved down to Otiputi and became part of our community down here. The importance of being a Māori creative, not only for yourself and your own well-being, but also just for visibility's sake, and the importance of seeing yourself in work. And I had a lovely conversation with Phoebe Ryder from Studio 2, and the importance of just making space for arts and the ongoing benefits and positive outcomes of some of our most vulnerable in the community having access to just making and sharing and learning, and what that looks like in that space of Studio 2 and some of the incredible artists that they have in that space. A big shout out to both Pew Pew and Phoebe for their time. Giants in the field of arts facilitation, but also just incredible Otiputi-based artists in their own right.
Here's that chat with Pew.
Today we have the incredible Wahine Toa, Pew Pew Maia Ture. Ngāti kahingunu ki Wairarapa, rangitāne me te Ati Haunui a Paparangi. On our show, Aratoi On Air, Pew Pew is an artist, curator, kāre and mother with a number of achievements under her belt. From sea urchin of the Logan Park Lagoon to working as a curatorial intern at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery to facilitating mahi toi through the Tinifitu art space, Pew Pew's experience, compassion and openness has seen them become an integral part of our Otiputi creative community. This year, Pew Pew successfully landed the directorship at the Blue Oyster Gallery on Dowling Street. Pew Pew's kaupapa is realised through the mahi they do, the thoughtful and considered approach they take to opening spaces and conversations for new and re-emerging creatives to experiment, learn and grow, and the intention they bring to all the projects. And there are many that they are a part of. Nō mai haere mai, Pew Pew. Welcome to Aratoi On Air and thank you for your time.
Kia ora, Amy. It's lovely to be here. Yay. Feeling good. Beautiful day outside.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, kia ora. So my name's Pew Pew. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. That's what I do. I just really like art. The power that it holds to uplift us and heal us and to really make us think about what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I've had quite a few experiences of lots of different kinds of art, like music and theatre and performance and writing and visual art that's really changed the way that I view the world. And so, yeah, I'm just quite passionate about putting that stuff forward so that other people can also have those experiences. Yeah.
So what does your life look like at the moment?
So right now, well, I've just started this job and that's been really fun and really interesting. Really enjoying working with our gallery manager, Jordan and Davey Eames. They're amazing. And also with the board of Blue Oyster as well has been really fantastic. I've got two kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And it's really fun to, have my kids go to the Kura Kaupapa in Fairfield and also go to Kohangareo. It's been a real motivation to keep on with my reo journey.
Amazing. So can you tell us a bit about your early years? Have you always been creative or, you know, your stereotypical artist?
Stereotypical artist? I think, like, all kids are creative and children make the best art, I think, because they're so free from inhibitions or pressure or whatever, you know, they just go for it. For me, so my mother was doing a lot of like performance art, and so I grew up watching those things be like happening, watching her enact those creative works. My nan's a weaver, my auntie is an artist and done lots of artistic work of various disciplines. So I think from the beginning of my life, creativity has been really like a part of our everyday life. It was never separated from just living. Watching them make props and costumes was really normal. Participating in the making was really normal. Yeah, Mum was doing lots of stuff. Was a part of the Random Trollops, which was like a performance art group in the 90s in Auckland. They did a lot of really political, really feminist stuff. They're also part of the McGillicuddies and things like this. So like this kind of really free, open, fun, super creative theatre, like, in a way. Theatre performance, whatever, has always been really present.
You moved to Utupute from Tamaki Makaurau when you were 10. How has growing up in Utupute influenced your practice?
So I had this conversation with someone the other day, and they moved down to Dunedin, you know, in the last couple of years, and they were like, oh, Dunedin has real potential to be the next, like, big creative hotspot. I was like, bro, what? Like, it's been a creative hotspot for so long.
Yeah.
Just that none of yous know about it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that here hasn't always been brimming with creative energy.
Totally.
In places like Nun Gallery and Glue Gallery, you know, like, was going there as a teenager and stuff, and seeing the work that they were doing, you know, as, like, I guess artist-run spaces and stuff, was really cool, really influential, really interesting. Yeah, being taught by Cindy Diver was really important, you know, for my practice. Yeah, going to ARC and, like, watching bands at the All Ages shows, that was really important. And I think this kind of mix of influences means that now, yeah, as a 30-something-year-old, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make some music. Okay, cool, now I'm going to make some, like, take some photos and make some prints, and then I'm going to go, yeah, half-write one of those scripts, and then I'm going to, you know, do some writing or whatever. I'm going to make some zines, and then we're just going to leave them around the place. Like, the possibility of making is, like, endless.
Yeah.
As long as you're willing to, you know, make bad work, you know, like, if, as long as you're willing to take a risk, and yeah, you can take that risk without putting yourself out there too by just making it and then burning it. You can do that.
How has growing up in Utupute influenced the art you like?
Oh, the art that I like? Oh, I mean, the vast majority of work that I like is Māori art. I love my people. I love the stuff that we make. I love how we make things. I like other people's stuff too. Like, I'm not going to limit myself. But I think watching the kind of redevelopment of the city has been really beautiful and inspiring and affirming for me, you know, as a Māori maker, seeing our things up. You know, Aisha Green's Ko Te Tūhono in the Octagon, when that opened, I was very heavily pregnant with my second child. And we went and we saw it opened, and it was amazing and beautiful, like, yay. You know, and then that night I gave birth to her.
Wow.
Yes.
And I don't
know. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they're related, but, you know, seeing that work go up and its relationship to Otako, it's really amazing and awesome. And so I think part of the reason that I'm so focused on Māori art is because when I was growing up, there wasn't that much of it around in terms of in the city's landscape and the architecture and stuff. Sometimes I wonder if that lack, or the perceived lack, because maybe there was lots of stuff, I just wasn't seeing it, meant that as I've gotten older and my creative practice has developed with me, if a lot of that focus has come from wanting to see myself, yeah, and see my family and see whakapapa.
What are some jobs and experiences that influenced your career path, and they can be good or bad?
I think 2010 and 2011, or maybe it was 2011 and 2012, myself and my friend Bronwyn Wallace, we organised a youth theatre festival with Cindy Diver.
Oh,
so cool. I went to Cindy and I was like, let's do one. She was like, all right, let's do one. I had no idea. So we did funding applications and we organised an open call and we did all this stuff and we talked to Play Market and got some scripts and da 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 da. And then we did it. And it was like a weekend, four performances, the basement bit of the Fortune Theatre, when the Fortune Theatre was a little thing, RIP. Yeah, and it was like, I think the first one we had 30-something people involved and the second one was 40-something people involved. Looking back now, that was a kind of like quite a massive project for like two 17-year-olds to undertake.
Yeah.
But because we were held so safely by Cindy, by Lara, by heaps of people in that theatre community who rallied around us to really enable it to happen, it happened. And it was awesome and people loved it. You know, we sold out all the shows and blah, blah, blah. Now, at the time, it was just kind of like a thing that we did. Like, it was fun, but it was, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, we're doing this thing, whatever. But now I look back and I'm like, oh, that was a really important moment in terms of being like a, I guess, creative facilitator. Although for some reason, I don't like the word facilitator. I don't know why. Creative producer is probably a bit better. That was my first real experience of that, and it had a profound impact on the way I have organised my creative life.
So you are now working as the director of the Blue Oyster Gallery. Congratulations. How's it going?
Thank you. It's definitely a job. You know, it's a big job, and it's one that I need to treat carefully. There's 26 years worth of history, which is a lot of history. It's a lot of shows. It's a lot of people,
yeah.
You know. And I want to make sure that I'm contributing that history. Yeah, I'm contributing to it, I think, you know, in a positive and fun way.
What mahi are you looking forward to?
I'm just having, like, a mean time jamming out, to be honest. It's been really fun working with the artists that Simon has programmed and talking to new artists about coming down or coming into the space and imagining quite a lot of, like, imaginative work around, like, what do I want to do with the space? Mm. You know, because that's one thing I think about Blue Oyster that's really interesting is that each director brings their own stuff to it and does their own things.
What do you do for fun outside of art?
Going for quite a few like walks in the bush and stuff, which has been really awesome.
Yeah.
Touching grass and all that. But then also I would consider that part of my practice, really. Yeah, I've been going to the Propel Gym on Princes Street, and I would highly recommend it. Like, it's mean. I have a great time there. But I was talking to Hemi, who owns it, and he was like, oh, what shows you got coming up at Blue Oyster? And I was like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then we had this conversation, eh? And I was like, damn, man, like, you've just given me so many awesome ideas for writing. Yeah. So I don't know if I can, other than, like, hanging out with my kids and my family.
I guess, know, like, yeah, like,
everything
I think
just feeds in.
It's either direct or indirect, isn't it?
Yeah.
The conversations you have with people on the street can spark an idea which turns into an exhibition.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I don't know, yeah. I feel like it's a bad example of a work-life balance. But, you know, like, I can't.
I guess art is fun, is what you're saying, and art is life, so.
A huge amount of fun. I have, like, you know, I'm having a huge amount of fun in my job, having a huge amount of fun thinking. I'm not making anything at the moment. Mm. I'm not making any music. I'm not making any art. Like, I'm scribbling.
Yeah.
But I'm just scribbling for the sake of scribbling. I'm not intentionally creating any artwork.
Yeah. Outside of your work at the gallery, how else do you fill your time?
I hang out with my kids. And I do some work for the kohanga. We'll start trying to do things at kura as well, kind of going to their hui and stuff. Laundry.
Food.
Food.
Sleeping. What does balance look like for you at the moment?
Balance looks like making sure that I know when I'm done. So when I'm done for the day, I'm done for the day. And just like being like, yeah, don't take anything home. It's done.
Yeah. What brings you joy in 2025?
Heaps of stuff.
All the things.
Just things, yeah. Just finding, like, trying to find joy in everything.
Yeah.
You know, finding joy in writing a funding application. How can I make this fun? You know, finding joy in doing the dishes. How can I make this fun? Like, this really intentional reframing of things.
Final question. In a sentence, what advice do you have for young artists, and specifically young Māori and Indigenous artists?
Don't be afraid. Just do it. You have nothing to lose. Well, maybe a bit of ego, but oh well, who cares about ego? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Thanks so much, Piu Piu, for your time. We really appreciate it. Check out Blue Oyster at what number, Darling Street?
16.
And you're on Instagram?
Yep, Blue Oyster Dunedin.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Piu Piu.
All good. Thank you, Amy. Mama it's lovely he. Chatting. Kagide.
Kia ora, Amy and Piu, for that wonderful conversation. If you've got a bit of spare time and you're through town, go check out the current exhibition on at Blue Oyster Project Space. It's called Disposable Gestures from Priscilla Rose Howe and Liam Krigsman. That's running through to the 26th of October. Now let's take it out to Kaituna, South Dunedin. Here's that chat between Amy Tawa and Phoebe Ryder.
Today we welcome Phoebe Ryder, artist, teacher and manager of the well-respected Studio 2, a creative space where artists with disabilities are supported to create artwork, experiment with a range of materials and develop their own artistic styles and profiles. Phoebe has a creative background, having graduated from the Dunedin School of Art and has since established her ceramics practice. No mai, haere mai. Phoebe, thank you for your time and welcome to Aratoi On Air.
Kia ora, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, I grew up in Dunedin, grew up out on the peninsula, went to school here. After high school, I went to Wellington to study fashion design. So I did 2 years at Massey. And then I took a break and moved back home. Took a year off working and then did some study at the uni before going back to Polytech to finish fashion design. Yeah, moved over to Australia and lived in Melbourne working in fashion for 3 years and then moved back to Dunedin sort of around COVID.
What did you study at Otago University?
I did a year of psychology and nutrition, but it was basically like first year, I guess, the health science papers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a bit of a pivot, and then missed doing the sort of more creative things, so switched back.
What mahi had you done before coming to Studio 2?
After finishing fashion design, I worked for a label in Australia doing production and then work at the print room. So I'd work in embroidery there, and I still do that one day a week. That's my little fun day. And I also spent some time up north in Coromandel at a place called Driving Creek Pottery, where I worked for a summer teaching people to throw.
When did you come into your role at Studio 2?
When I came back from Coromandel, I started working as an art facilitator just one day a week. So that was 2023, yeah, just over 2 years ago. So worked one day and then picked up a couple of more days. And then September last year, I took on the managerial role.
Studio 2 and the Margaret Freeman Gallery is located in South Dunedin on Cargill's Corner and works with up to 80 artists a week. The focus is on visual arts, primarily painting, drawing and some sculpture. Projects are artist-led and Studio 2 staff endeavour to find a way for artists to make their own ideas a reality. Can you describe some of the activities that go on at Studio 2?
Yes, all sorts. Most recently, or this year, we've been doing lots of works on textiles. So for the IHC Art Awards, all of the artists did their paintings on canvas, which was really great. And we're also doing some textile works for an upcoming exhibition. Last year, we received funding from Creative New Zealand, and part of that was to introduce a visiting artists program into the studio. So through that, we have different people coming in and teaching the artists new mediums. So we've done some clay, made ukutangi with Jess Nicholson. We did really basic mono printing with painter Saskia Leake. So yeah, quite a variety of different things.
It sounds like a really high quality program that you provide the artists who come in and are able to engage with the work that you do. What responsibilities fall under your role as manager?
I guess the day-to-day running of the studio. So making sure we've got all the things we need to keep the studio running. Doing a big part of my job is doing the funding. Yeah, applying for funding from different organisations. I think we actually get funding from about 10 different places. So
it's a lot of work.
Yeah, doing, I guess, the applications for that and then accountability and reporting is quite a big job.
Are any of the funds multi-year funding or do you have to apply every single year?
We do have a couple of streams that are multi-year. So things like lotteries and COGS, we currently have 3-year funded contracts with them, which is really great.
And that probably makes all the difference for you guys, hey, in terms of future planning and stuff. What are some of the most important lessons you have learned since working alongside artists at Studio 2?
I think just, yeah, it's really important that we create like a safe and welcoming space for our artists, like a place where they feel comfortable and building relationships with them.
What's interesting about working in Studio 2 is it's not your traditional learning environment where it's a linear pathway. So you start at a certain point and then you move through and by the end you'll have these skills or this creative output. It's very much dependent on the capacity and the capability of each individual artist. So you have to be quite agile to each of those.
Yeah, a big part of our kaupapa is like supporting the artists. Like as you said, it's artist-led, but also we're there to try and help them, encourage them and introduce them to new things and I guess sort of help them grow and expand their own creativity.
What are some of the highlights for you since you began working at Studio 2?
It's been like a really special place to be a part of. I think just meeting all of these people and getting to be a part of this space where there's all sorts of different life perspectives and people have lived very different lives to myself. So yeah, I think just building these relationships with the artists, I think it's been really great getting to watch some people's journey and just even like growth and confidence, whether it's them having their own solo exhibition, or we did an exhibition at the Community Gallery the start of last year, and just seeing how stoked everyone was to see their work like in a big gallery in the middle of town. And then, you know, if they sell something, I guess seeing the pride that they felt, that's definitely a big highlight.
What are some of the obstacles you, your co-workers and the artists have faced?
The obvious one would be getting enough funding to sort of stay open in the capacity that we are, which is always feels like a bit of a pressure point.
In thinking about working with artists with lived disability, working in the space that you do, what does advocacy look like to you?
I think just supporting our artists and giving them the space to be able to express themselves creatively. And then people with disabilities are often excluded, or they don't have easy access to a lot of the things that we might. So providing them with the space and opportunities to contribute to their community, I think, is really important, to see themselves in the community and feel like they are a part of the community.
You're a manager at Studio 2. You work alongside your peers and artists. What other activities fill your days?
I think it's really important for me to be out, to get outside. So I like being outside and going for long walks, you know, getting into the forest or the beach. Working on my own creative practice, which I think is something that I really do struggle to commit to if it's not my sole focus. I mean, maybe it's ebbs and flows, but I do struggle to sort of make time for it amongst all the other things. But I have been doing some pottery lately. So, yeah, working with clay. I also like sewing. Yeah, cooking.
So your ceramic works are currently available at the Company of Strangers store on the north end of George Street. And just looking at the website, it states that you work intuitively, embracing the unpredictability of clay, drawing from memories of landscapes and ancient forms to create individual pieces. You have worked with different materials and that continues to evolve. What inspires you in your creative practice?
Inspired by like shapes or textures that I see, I guess, in the world, be it sort of man-made or natural landscapes. My background interest in like fashion and textiles kind of plays into my practice with clay. The surfaces of my ceramics might be inspired by sort of textile patterns or things like that. Yeah, I'm quite a loose worker. Like, I like things to look a bit, or I don't want things to look sort of perfect. I definitely like to see sort of like evidence of the hand or the maker.
What brings you joy?
Lots of things bring me joy. Well, like I said before, I really like being outside.
Yeah.
Cooking for my friends, my family. Sometimes making things brings me joy. Sometimes it brings me stress.
So in a sentence, what advice do you have for whānau and support crews of potential artists with a lived disability?
I think it's probably really important to find out what brings them joy, what things they like to do to fill their life. So whether it is being creative and doing art, or whether it's, you know, something else, playing sport. But finding those things that can, I guess, bring meaning to their life, and then what places or activities or groups are available for them to be a part of. Yeah, I mean, I think Studio 2 is such an important space for a lot of the people that go there, because it makes up a part of their life routine. They're not going to work every day like you or I might be. Some of them are working, but they're finding different things that they enjoy and going to different places. And so it's part of their life routine, and it's like an important space that's not your house. You know, it's somewhere where you go out to meet friends and like build those connections with people and relationships, and building on social skills or other life skills.
What advice do you have for emerging and re-emerging creatives living in Dunedin?
I think just in terms of your own art practice, just sort of just to continue moving forward. I think I'm like someone who maybe am searching for like an end point, or I sort of for ages I didn't think about my whole life as being like my creative journey. It was like I was trying to get somewhere and then getting frustrated that I don't have the time to do it now. But I guess just knowing that I can like chip away at it, and if I don't have time to do it this year, then maybe, you know, next year or the year after there'll be more time.
Ka mihi nui, Phoebe. We appreciate and acknowledge the level of mahi that goes on behind the scenes at Studio 2 to ensure that a safe, inspiring and invigorating space is available for these artists who are some of our most underrepresented and underserved in the creative sector. To check out all the mahi going on in Studio 2, you will be able to see it all on your way home via their window displays on the corner of, on Cargill's Corner, 147 Hillside Road. You can also find their mahi on Facebook at Studio 2, that's number 2, and Margaret Freeman Gallery, or on Instagram at Studio 2 Creative Space. If you're a friend of Phoebe's ceramic works, you can find those at the Company of Strangers website or on Instagram at Phoebe Perhaps. Thank you, Phoebe. We love you. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi. Thanks, Amy.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.